Now, Bruce is an American who lives in the Canary Islands and is on holiday in Norway. So we've got that cleared up, Bruce. Thanks very much for coming on. Do you think big business should be playing a bigger role?
Obviously, yes. The big business incentives need to come from governments and also from individuals and also from consciousness from big companies like auto manufacturers and, well, through the whole range of building and consumers and everything else need to really get on board here. But I think that it has to be tandem efforts, obviously. But I believe that the opportunities here are incredible. I think there is another dawn of another revolution in technology and a whole new way of thinking about how to develop technology in the way we live. And I think that it's really, really, really going to be up to governments and business to try to work together to get this problem solved and quickly.
Bruce, thanks for breaking off from your holiday. Good to speak to you.
Bruce, can I just agree with you wholeheartedly here, and that's exactly what this, and it actually echoes Tom's comment from the US as well. This document quite clearly says this should not be about the economics of climate change, it should be about the science of climate change. Let the scientists decide where we need to be, what the targets and goals are.
But you're not going to do it if you're not making a profit, are you?
I don't think that's true. I think you're seeing a change and shift in emphasis among businesses as we approach more of a socially responsible approach.
So you'd take
a
decision which might lose Sun Microsystems money in order to help the environment?
Well, so far, we've invested several billion dollars in developing low-carbon technologies, and all of those investments have either saved us money or made us money. So what we're saying, and echoing the previous caller, was this is a new frontier, new opportunities, and we as a business have really embraced that. But what I'm saying here is that there will be winners and losers. Let the scientists decide where we need to be. What does the destination look like? What does success look like? Let governments set the long-term framework that allows us to get there, and then set businesses free to innovate, to drive value in a low-carbon economy.
Keith writes the Earth blog, which we'll link to from our blog. Don't worry, Keith. Good to have you on the program again. What do you make of this?
I've been reading the communique with great interest since I was alerted to it. One thing that becomes very clear when you read it is business is positioning itself, it's repositioning itself to take advantage of a changed world. The comments you've had are very, very positive from my point of view, because they're showing that the world is changing and people are seeing that the business world are having to dramatically take a U-turn effectively. But unfortunately, the business world can't do this. And if we look at the communique, I've highlighted a few things here. Economic costs, causing potentially greater economic disruption, significant business opportunities, new markets, worth billions of dollars, pro-growth strategy, economic growth. All of this seems to point to a business world that is trying to keep itself going as before, but look as though it's changing. And as you said, quite rightly, unless the businesses make profit, they go out of business. They cannot make profit unless they use more resources. They can increase their carbon intensity by being more efficient, using more efficient technologies, but they can never exist unless they make profit, and ultimately that is going to use more resources.
Keith, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I do have to disagree with you quite fundamentally there. If you want to go and have a look at our website and have a look at a product called Sunray, it's a completely dematerialized computing device that cuts more than 90% of the energy consumed by IT. It lasts for 5 to 7 PC refreshes. There are companies that are coming out with radical alternatives to existing paradigms that dematerialize, that are low carbon and low energy. What we need is, but we're a small player in a huge market.
I know, Richard, and I was an IT manager for 10 years, and I'm very aware of what Sun have done.
Right, but there are other markets where it's a lot more complicated. If we look at the airline industry, the return on investment on capital deployed in aircraft and so on. You're right, there are a whole series of references to actually allowing the economic growth to continue that needs to. The reality is, if we don't say that, then governments are not going to do it, because they are measuring their success criteria on economic prosperity for their citizens, and quite right too.
Big problem. We need a complete shift in the way we look at what is good in this world. And economic growth, by its nature, cannot be good, because it is destroying the very thing that we depend on. It's destroying our life support system. Economic growth has to be taken out of the equation.
Keith, I personally, and I have to stress the word personally, agree with you there. The problem is we've got what we've got. And to transition from where we are to where you would like us to be, and perhaps, you know, in my heart of hearts where I would like us to be, is a long-term step and probably a step too far given where we are. We have to deal with the deck that we've created for ourselves, and that, and if you look at into the words, you know, we're talking about ambition, we're talking about making it international, making it comprehensive, make it legally binding. This is the starting point for the creation of a more sustainable planet, a planet where we value those raw materials and we do something different than call byproducts waste. And I think that journey's on the move right now.
Keith, let me just interrupt you there. That's also Richard Barrington, who's from Sun Microsystems, one of 150 major businesses from around the world who have called on the UN to give them a clear message of the kind of carbon emission targets they're going to have to meet. They say, tell us what we can do, and then we can do it better. Let's bring in Hannah Jones, who's Global Vice President of Corporate Responsibility at Nike, which is based in Oregon. Of course, lots of listeners on OPB will know it well. Hannah, thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I guess you're quite busy because the Davis Cup tennis is in Portland, isn't it?
It is indeed.
All right. Well, I won't keep you from that for too long, but tell me, why has Nike put its name to this call?
Well, we've been working on the climate change issue for a number of years, and we feel very strongly that as the world enters what we believe needs to happen, which is a low-carbon economy, we think there's real growth opportunities for companies. And we think there's an opportunity for us to collectively work together with governments and civil society to move into that low-carbon economy. But to do that, we do believe there needs to be regulation at a global level. And so we were really delighted to be able to join with all these other companies to put that forward to the Bali meeting.
But a lot of people are saying, well, this sounds very impressive from all of these businesses. They might do a better job than our governments at fighting climate change. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think it's about all of us acting. I think every single actor, whether it be government, whether it be business or civil society and individuals, need to act, and we need to act rapidly. I think the key thing to stress here, though, is that really, the chance now is for us to collectively look at the opportunity and the innovation that can be done to move us into a low-carbon economy. And I think that if we act soon, we can grab some of that innovation and opportunity. Our fear is that acting later will definitely disrupt markets, disrupt economic growth, and disrupt communities around the world.
Hannah, we've got a couple of emails I'd like to read to you and get your response to them.
Well, we've got Keith in Oregon who says, I cannot imagine anything more absurd than giving corporations full rein to correct environmental and climate change issues. I need only look at the track record, including examples such as Union Carbide and Exxon. Meanwhile, different Keith, this time in the UK, says, yes, of course business is better placed to have an effect on climate change. After all, they're the ones manufacturing, packing and delivering the goods around the country and the world. Simon emails, surely this is about business economics, their bottom line and not ecology.
Well, Hannah, what about, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase a few emails we've received, either saying this is just about profit, or lots of other people are saying it's about public relations. This is about getting you off the hook, getting you out of your responsibilities for what's happened in the past and making you look in a better light with regards to climate change.
I really would say I do not think this is about public relations. If anyone is doing this for a public relations purpose at this point in time, then I think they're making a big mistake. We see from the science, we see significant shifts that will impact global businesses around the world and are already impacting global businesses around the world. And the opportunity here is for us to bring what each of us does best to the table and collaborate to move us collectively into the low carbon economy. What business can do well is to look at its entire footprint and to set targets, as we've done, around carbon reductions, and to work hard to looking at how we can move to alternative sources of energy use and reducing our waste. What we can also do is help to fuel innovation around new products and new ways of going to market with our products. But we need government to act too, and we need global agreements on regulation that will help move the marketplace into this low-carbon economy, providing the right types of sanctions and incentives for companies around the world.
Okay, Hannah, well, you're asking that of not just the American government, but all of the governments who are going to be meeting in Bali. Let's bring in Colin Challen, who's a Labour Member of Parliament in the UK. He's also chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Climate Change Group. Colin, good to have you on World Have Your Say on the BBC.
Hi.
Lots of people are being very critical of what governments are managing to do about climate change. Some are even suggesting hand it over to business. They sound like they know what they're doing. What would you say to that?
You can't simply hand it over to business. I mean, they do know what they're doing up to a point, but businesses do need regulation. They do need to work, I think, on a global level playing field. In the creation of any new market, there's always the possibility of forms of piracy and fraud. It does need regulating, it needs monitoring and policing, so we need a lot of regulatory systems in place to do that.
But Colin, everyone's agreed that you need regulation. The problem seems to be that, for whatever reasons, the United Nations isn't coming up with the regulation that these big businesses want.
Well, I would agree, not yet. They aren't coming up with what I would like to see, and we've heard only today that James Connaughton, the White House Environment Supremo, is setting his face and the United States federal government's face against actual targets and limits to greenhouse gases emissions. So, I mean, there is a lot of resistance yet, even within government. I actually welcome the recent declaration by 150 major businesses, which James Connaughton so dislikes, because they're showing that in some cases businesses can set the pace. But they do obviously want an investment framework which is going to be set on long-term targets which everybody can believe in.
Well, you're talking about some frustrations with America. Richard Barrington from Sun Microsystems, let's call a spade here. Is your company getting fed up with the American government?
Hi Colin, it's Richard Barrington here. I think that there are a number of issues here, and I think Colin is quite right. I was recently on Capitol Hill. We went into the Energy and Security Committee. The Corporate Leaders Group on Climate Change actually presented or gave testimony to that committee. And it was quite clear that the people there are riven by those who are supporters, those who are against. And what they found most difficult to cope with, those who were against it, was having business leaders standing up and saying, you've got to do this. What's great about this communique is there's over 50 US businesses, there are actually Chinese businesses and Australian businesses, it's not just UK's and European businesses, all coming together and saying, you've got to do this, because without it we cannot be successful.
But is the American government the biggest stumbling block between where we are now and what you and the other 149 people on this communique would like?
I think we have to recognise that there is likely to, well, there will be a change of emphasis in the American government with the elections looming and that sort of thing. What we're seeing already is a huge groundswell across America. It's not just the governor in California, which is obviously our home base, leading the charge. Over 350 American cities have formed their own Kyoto Protocol and are driving down climate change within their own their carbon footprint within their own space. A whole number of the states are doing the same thing. Actually, unfortunately, the White House is actually looking more and more isolated on this issue from an American perspective.
Can I just come in here, please?
Of course you can.
I'd like to say hi to Colin, because he's one of my few political heroes. He's done a lot of work with Aubrey Mayer on contraction and convergence, which is a fantastic idea, and it has to be pushed forwards. What I really want to say is that the White House itself is, again, a symptom of a larger system we have, which is essentially made people believe that what they need to be happy, what they need to be content, is consumption of more goods. And Nike is a perfect example. Nike doesn't sell any goods that people need. Nike sells goods that people want. But Nike sells these because Nike wants to make a profit. I would like to think that Nike are going to reduce their carbon emissions cradle to grave by 90% by 2030.
Well, Keith, I can't tell you if they're going to do that because Hannah Jones has gone, but the issue of consumption and the issue of whether it's better just not to buy at all rather than to buy something which is green...